bless you as you give. We thank you so much. Now let's get into the Word of God. God has something great and wonderful for you today. And so get your Bible out or get your device, however you like to refer to your Bible. And let's just make this profession as we get into the Word of God. Say, this is my Bible. It is the Word of God. It is God talking to me. I receive the Word of God. I reverence the Word of God. I honor the Word of God today with my faith, with my focus, and with my faithfulness to follow through. In Jesus' name, my heart's receptive. My mind is alert. My ears are open to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say to me through the Word. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. God bless you. We're going to turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, because we're going to talk about, and you, as you know, that those of you have been with us, we're talking about the blood of Jesus the entire month of April and wherever, however long the Lord says do it. And we've been talking a lot about the blood of Jesus, and we're partaking of communion with that to kind of take an act of faith. In our faith in the blood of Jesus and what he has done for us. But today we're going to be talking about the redemptive value of the blood of Jesus, the redemptive value of the blood of Jesus. And so in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, it says, in him we have redemption through his blood. Everybody say redemption. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14, it says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us unto the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins. Amen. So there is translation power in the blood of Jesus. That word conveyed or means to transfer or translate. And so when you've been translated or transferred, it's like the old Star Trek movie that with the old Spock and the old Captain James T. Kirk, and when they had the transporter unit, they transported, warped them from one place to the next. So you've been translated from one kingdom into another place. Praise God. You've been transferred. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. So by the blood of Jesus, the connection we now are to enjoy and experience is the status that Jesus possesses right now. Now you got to wrap your head around that. So our redemption by the blood of Jesus has made us worthy to become partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Then partakers of the inheritance. We're going to talk a lot more about that because we're talking about redemptive value of the blood of Jesus. And has delivered us from the power, control, and domination of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. Everybody say glory to God. By the blood of Jesus, our Father God took us from under the domain of the devil and brought us unto himself. Through the blood of Jesus, we are presented holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. By that placement, all things come under our authority. Glory to God. See, we were once alienated, and he now has drawn us near by the blood. Ephesians chapter 2 says it this way. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 through 13. Therefore, remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh who were called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision made by the flesh, made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. He's talking about before Christ now. Now he said, but now, in Christ. Everybody say now. In Christ. We always say it's better in Christ than outside of Christ. Even if you're not in Christ, we often say you may be in crisis. So now in Christ, you were once were afar off, have been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ, blood of Christ. See, friends, we cannot become worthy because of our inheritance from God. Excuse me. We cannot become worthy of our inheritance from God for us to enjoy and experience in Christ except by the blood of Jesus. We need to put great value and hold in high esteem the blood of Jesus. See, neither can we be totally delivered from the power of darkness except by the blood of Jesus. Everybody say the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus has great power to break every yoke of the devil, to dissolve and dismantle ungodly soul ties. That means people who have connected to you in an evil way, an evil intending way. You know, people that you pick up or as friends or partners, and they can connect to you and you can get an ungodly soul tie. So, but the blood of Jesus can break that ungodly soul tie or that evil influence in your life. The blood of Jesus has the power to break every chain, remove the guilty stains, and turn our losses into gains. So we are redeemed by the blood. So now let's talk about justified by the blood. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 through 9 says this, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than, listen to this, having now, everybody say now, been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath to come. Friends, we think COVID-19 and coronavirus and the shutdowns and the shelter-ins and the restrictions are rough now, but you think when the wrath to come comes, we've been delivered from the wrath to come. We've been saved from that wrath to come. By the blood of Jesus, we have justification with guarantees of deliverance from wrath. Justification is just a fancy word that means to render just or innocent. It means to render righteous and, number three, to declare or pronounce one to be just, righteous, as such as he ought to be. We always say justified means you just as if you'd never sinned before. It's God's way of treating you and me as if sin never happened. Now, there's two avenues of wrath on the earth. Number one, the wrath of the devil. How many know the devil is a meanie? And the Bible says that he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Revelation chapter 12, verse 12 says, therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath. Why? Because he knows that he has a short time. The devil's running out of time. And just like a wounded lion, he's very angry. And he's taking things out. He has no regard for any human life. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But thank God for the blood of Jesus. Amen. Now, second wrath is the wrath of God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1, verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because we must remember that in Hebrews 12:29, the Bible says that our God is a consuming fire. God's not some old man up there with a long beard and he's falling asleep and taking a nap all the time and doesn't care what's going on. No, our God's very engaged and aware of everything that goes on in the earth. And in the book of Revelations also, it says the wrath of God is poured out and mentions it's God's wrath frequently in the book of Revelations. So whether it's from the wrath of God or the wrath that of the devil, we have the blood of Jesus defense. because we are justified by the blood, and we have been saved from the wrath through him. Isn't that awesome? Thank God for the blood of Jesus. We don't have to burn in hell. We don't have to go through the wrath of God that's going to be poured out very shortly after, you know, certain things happen. And we don't have to experience it because we've been delivered by the blood of Jesus. So because of the blood of Jesus, the precious blood of Jesus, the powerful blood of Jesus, we are in wrath-free territory. Glory to God. Every wickedness, every hex, every vex, every curse, every evil scheme and plot attacking you or assigned and sent to come against you must fail. The blood of Jesus pacifies the wrath of God, and it also puts down or puts away the wrath of the devil. That means God, the devil can't take his anger out on you. God has justified you by the blood of Jesus. Who can be against you? Now listen to this very closely about justification. I say it again. God has justified you by the blood of Jesus. You didn't do it for yourself. God has done it by the blood. Justified is another word that means to declare righteous. Declare you righteous. Now, how are you righteous? By your works, by your earning it, meriting, living good enough, walking in a straight line, following all the rules? No. You're righteous because of the blood. Who can be against you? Who will lay anything to your charge? Listen to this, Romans 8:30. You got to chew on this one. Moreover, whom he did predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, he also justified. That, everybody say, that's me. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. Now, it's only Christ who can condemn. So your liberty on earth is thus eternal by the blood of Jesus. Who's going to condemn you? Nobody but Christ has the right to condemn you. So you are eternally free by the blood of Jesus. Whew, glory to God. That's good stuff. Amen. So you are safe from all wickedness through the blood of Jesus. Now let's talk about our blood inheritance, because that's what we're talking about today, the value, the redemptive value of the blood of Jesus. And I'm going to refer to my chart here before we get into the scripture. You can see the chart to my left as you're watching, maybe to your right. So in this chart, when I was in corporate America and I held a position within the human resources department, and we always would often highlight or magnify the compensation packages for potential new employees, management, leaders, workers, that kind of thing. And so, you know, people would come in, and first thing they would ask about was, what's my pay? And, of course, the first thing is the basics. We call it the base pay. So you get a base pay package. And so I want to convey to you and communicate to you about redemption. The basics of redemption is what we've been covering for the most part this month. And, of course, the basic package, or what we call our base pay, what we get from redemption is so big and so huge, it'll take us a whole year to just exhaust the depth and breadth and enormity of our basics of redemption. Praise God. Because we are redeemed with precious blood. Then we used to always say, I called it the three B's. We said the base pay, then the benefits, then the bonus. And so here in redemption, I'm just rephrase it, calling the basics of redemption, the benefits of redemption, and the blessings of redemption. Now, we're going to talk about the blessings and introduce you to those blessings today for the first time since we've been teaching this all month. And so there are three big deals about redemption that we need to uncover and discover and understand fully to grow our faith in the blood. Because the blood is powerful. Now, down here at the bottom, I have a little table. I know you probably can't see it too well online, but it's the redemption's big basics. Now, I have four big basics that we want to highlight to you. Number one, the basics is your freedom. Freedom from what? The big basic, first big basic is you're free from sin and Satan's control and dominance. We often say sin has no hold on you anymore. Romans chapter 6 verse 14 tells us sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law but under grace. In other words, one of the translations says sin shall not lord it over you. It won't dominate you like it did before. You're no longer a slave to sin. You're no longer a slave to fear. The spirit of fear, and Satan's control and dominion and dominance in your life. He's now under your feet. He's a defeated foe. You have authority over the devil. Jesus even said in Mark chapter 16, in my name you shall drive out demons. In other words, you have authority over the devil. He used to have authority and dominion over us. But because you've been redeemed, you're no longer under his authority. Amen. You've been redeemed from the hand of the enemy. You have been free. You're free from the curse of the law. Galatians 3:13 and 14 tells us Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. The curse of the law was three big deals: poverty, sickness, and spiritual death. So you've been redeemed. So you can get up every morning and say, thank you, Lord, I'm redeemed by the blood of Jesus. That means you're stating to heaven, to hell, and earth that I am no longer under the curse. Amen. I'm no longer under the curse. Praise God. Sin has no hold on me. Satan has no dominance in my life. Christ has set me free. Somebody say hallelujah. And you're free from death and destruction. The Bible says he redeems our life from destruction. He crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. You're redeemed. When Christ rose from the dead, the Bible says that the question that through the Apostle Paul by the Holy Spirit said, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? That means you're not dying. You don't live an aimless existence while you're on earth. But when you die, it's not termination. It's transition to heaven. Christ has set you free. The blood of Jesus, through the blood of Jesus. Then you have forgiveness and remission. We said you get the forgiveness of sins. First scripture we read, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, in whom we have redemption. Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And redemption or remission just means more than just forgiveness of sins. It means the cancellation of penalty and the removal of guilt, the guilt of sin consciousness from our lives. It means complete remission. In a medical term, a medical reference, it's not just regular remission or partial remission. It is complete molecular remission. That means that cell, that memory cell of that thing is completely gone. You've been completely set free. Praise God. You have the remission of your sins. Praise God. And then number three, we partake of the everlasting covenant with God and with our Lord Jesus Christ. We're heirs of God and we're joint heirs with Jesus. Praise God. Now, we are a right now, listen to me very closely, right now, present tense heir. Some people say, well, when I get to heaven, then I can enjoy and experience my inheritance. No, you and I are supposed to enjoy and experience our inheritance right now because of the blood of Jesus. And there's blessings and there's benefits that we should partake of because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. His blood made us worthy to be partakers of that inheritance. And then number four, we have been reconciled back to God and to the things of God. Remember we read earlier, we're strangers from the covenants of promise. We were aliens. We were foreign. We were far distance from God. But we've been brought close back to God, brought near by the blood of Jesus. We've been reconciled back to God. And so that's why 2 Corinthians 5 tells us we are in the ministry of reconciliation. God has committed to us the word of reconciliation, which we tell people, be reconciled back to God and the things of God. See, you and I weren't created for the fun of it. We were created for a purpose. We were created to serve God. We were called to serve God. We are commanded to serve God. Why do you exist? Why do you breathe the air? Why are you watching this broadcast? To serve God. To be a partaker. Excuse me. Of the things of God. Now, what is the benefits? We talked about that before. I'll flip back to that. Now, these are not all the benefits, but they are seven big benefits. I use the P's. It gives us power of the blood of Jesus. It gives us peace. It gives us bold access into God's presence. It provides protection against sin and its forms and manifestations. It, number five, it is able to purge our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Number six, it ratifies and establishes and validates all of the promises of God in our lives. And, of course, it perfects and completes all things in us in Christ. Praise God. So the blood of Jesus has great benefits. Now, let's go to our scripture. Then we're going to read our seven blessings. Seven blessings. So it says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12 through 15, it says, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood. He entered into the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Now, if you have a Bible, you can highlight or underline those, that phrase, eternal redemption. So that means this is ongoing, everlasting, permanent. Verse number 15, it says, for this reason, he is the mediator of a new covenant by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called might receive the promise, listen to this, eternal inheritance. Now underline or circle that phrase, eternal inheritance. So we have eternal redemption, but that also helps us experience, gives us the ability to experience and enjoy an eternal inheritance. That means there's no ending to it. You say, when do I start it? You can start it right now as a born-again child of God. You can start enjoying and experiencing your eternal inheritance right now. If Jesus is your Lord and personal Savior. See, we have an inheritance in the blood of Jesus. The shed blood of Jesus obtained, Jesus shed his blood to obtain this inheritance for us, not for himself. By his blood, Jesus has brought man to his back to his original inheritance. Now let's turn to Genesis chapter 1. Let's see what this original blessing that came upon three things that God gave to Adam, gave to mankind in the beginning, Jesus restored it back to us. Let's look at this. Genesis chapter 1, I'm reading out of the King James Version. Verse 26, he says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them, so who's us? Us is the Father, God the Father, God the Son, and he was the Word before he was the Son. So it was the Word and the Holy Spirit. Let them, talking about man, he was creating, have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the earth and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth. So God created man in his own image. And in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Verse 28, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God saw, and behold, I have given you herb-bearing seed, every herb-bearing seed, and which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree, in which is the fruit of a tree, yielding seed, and to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. Now let's break that down into the three things that God gave. So God gave mankind three things. Number one, he gave mankind, or Adam, in the beginning, dominion. Dominion and authority. Dominion and authority. Verse 26, he said, God, let us make man in our image. And after all, and let them, who? Mankind, have dominion. You know, now, how did Jesus, when he rose from the dead, Matthew 28, it says in Matthew 28, verse 18, and he rose from the dead, and Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. But he just didn't retain all that power, all that dominion and authority. All authority is given to me. He turned around and delegated to the church. He gave it to us to exercise on the earth. We have authority. We have dominion restored back to us. Glory to God, in and through the name of Jesus by his shed blood. Second was the blessing. He gave mankind the blessing. Look at verse 28. And God blessed him. Everybody say blessed. He blessed him in these fourfold things. He said, be fruitful. That means always constantly producing. Multiply. That means always and constantly increasing. Number three, replenish the earth. In other words, overflow from increase with no shortages. And number four, subdue. That means total control over your environment and your circumstances. See, we're not supposed to be living under the circumstances. We're supposed to be living in subduing and total control over our environment and our circumstances. The blessing manifested on our lives looks like this in three different parts. It is the covenant of God that overrides the curse. This earth system, earth is cursed. It is number two, the anointing of God through which divine favor flows. Number three, it is the power to produce. That's what that blessing manifestation occurs in our lives in those dimensions. He blessed us. So Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 says it this way, and we have been blessed, past tense, it's already happened, we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So you are blessed. And we often say you're not just blessed to be blessed, you're blessed to be a blessing. Glory to God. Somebody said glory to God. And then number three, what did he give him? Seed. You got to look at the big picture, friends. God gave us dominion and authority back through the name. So we don't have to be run over by sin and Satan and sickness and sorrow and shame. Come on now. And he's given us the blessing back, and he's through Jesus and his shed blood, he's given us seed to sow. Jesus said in Mark chapter 4, if you don't get the parable of the sower, you don't get the concept of the kingdom. The law of sowing and reaping applies to everyone, but it's organized and has been established for your benefit and my benefit as children of God. That means we get to be a sower. We get to be a sower. And 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10, he said, God gives seed to the sower and bread for our food. And he does what? He multiplies our seed sown and increases the fruits of our righteousness. We get to be a sower. See verses 29 and 30, he says, I've given you seed. And Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, he says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest time. shall not cease. Some of us are thinking about what's going to happen when we go back to work. And is there going to be money? Are we going to get laid off? Is the economy going to fall through? Well, you put seed in the ground because the seed determines your future harvest. Galatians 6:7 says it this way, so beautifully in the Phillips translation. A man's harvest in life depends entirely upon that which he sows. We don't eat our seed, we sow it. And sowing our seed helps set up our future. Amen. Praise God. So we have control over those things. We have control over determining our increase in our income. So you can shout, even though the Wall Street or whoever falls apart and the economy collapses or gets challenged, so to speak, we can say, I got seed in the ground, and my seed will help meet my need, and I put a demand on the seed that I've sown, and God gives seed to the sower and bread for my food, and he'll multiply my seed sown, and he'll supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. See, dominion is no longer in the custody of Satan. It has been returned to man, and whoever believes in Jesus Christ as Lord and takes him as their personal Savior. Jesus was slain. Listen to this. He was slain to receive for. Now, I'm using these words intently here. He received for humanity what was lost first by Adam. See, this is the redemption value in the blood of Jesus. Now, these are the scriptures I want to highlight, those sevenfold blessings that we get to receive from Jesus, through Jesus, because he received them for us by his shed blood. Now let's look at Revelation chapter 5, verse 9 through 12. And they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, talking about Jesus, the Lamb of God, and has redeemed us to God by your own blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and has made us kings and priests unto our God. And we shall reign on the earth. Where are we going to reign? On the earth. We're just going to spend 7 years in heaven and coming back to earth. Then I looked, and behold, heard a voice of many angels around the throne and living creatures and elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, listen to this, worthy is the Lamb who was slain, talking about his bloodshed, to receive. He was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Somebody say hallelujah. So these are seven what we call sealed blessings that Jesus received for us. Now again, I say it again emphatically and emphasizing the point, he didn't receive this for himself, because some people put Jesus in a box and says Jesus has everything and can do anything and has accomplished everything, but he can't do nothing for me. But see, the Holy Spirit, let the Holy Spirit take what Jesus did for us through his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension, and let him translate that to you for your personal victory. Don't just see yourself with just, well, I'm saved, I'm forgiven of my sins, and I get to go to heaven. No, it's much more than that. You have the basics, which is so beautiful, so blessed, but now you got benefits, and now you have blessings. You're just not the redeemed of the Lord. You are supposed to manifest the reality of your redemption as a born-again child of God here on the earth. The first blessing is power. Everybody say power. See, Jesus didn't need more power. He received it for us. He delegated it to us to exercise here on earth. There is power available by the blood. Therefore, we don't have to have and be spiritual weaklings anymore. There's a song that we often sing. There is power, power, wonder-working power. Where? In the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. If you feel the burden of sin, you feel the bothering of Satan in your life, then you need to plead the blood. You need to get back to your power position in the blood. Second one is riches. Riches are supplied by heaven and surrendered to us from our enemies like the Egyptians did the Israelites. Now, this is huge. God didn't redeem you to stay broke, busted, and disgusted, and live on barely get along. You've been redeemed from poverty and lack and insufficiency into abundance. Wealth and riches, Psalms 112, verse 3, says, wealth and riches shall be in your house is for you. Wealth and riches are to be in your house. Number three, wisdom. Ecclesiastes 10:10 says, if the iron be blunt and he do not whet the edge or sharpen it, so to speak, then must he put more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct. What is it saying? What is that saying? What is that saying is, he said, some people try to work harder instead of allowing wisdom to help them work smarter. The New King James Bible says wisdom brings success. What brings success? Wisdom does. Now let's think about direction. Not knowing what to do, not knowing where, not knowing who, not knowing why, not knowing how and when is a big problem. See, the lack of direction and not time is the real problem, because we all have 24-hour days. We have 24/7, but some people will waste 12 hours a day not knowing what to do. Wasting their time, squandering their time, and not wisely redeeming their time and using their time for God. Number four, strength. By the blood of Jesus, we can put an end to all weaknesses in our bodies. The blood of Jesus is able to give us instant, daily, and on-the-spot strength and deliverance from any forms of sickness and disease. You know, the devil's just not going to let you go and say, well, you're redeemed now, so go do God's will and go do God's work as much as you want, as long as you want. I'm not going to bother you anymore. No, he's going to always try to hinder you. He's going to try to hurt you. He's going to try to harass you. He's going to try to disturb you, destroy you, discourage you, disrupt you, distract you. He's going to always try to be opposed against you doing the will of God. But there's supernatural strength out of heaven. Some people don't want to get up in the morning. Some people don't want to go do this. Some people don't want to say, I don't have strength to do this and get up and pray or get up and serve God today because I'm too tired. I'm too weak. I'm too worn out. I've been too working too hard. But we can pull and resource and tap into supernatural strength out of heaven because we've been blessed by the blood. Hallelujah. Fifthly, honor. Everybody say honor. Honor, 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 honor. God's honored the Israelites in the wilderness and the promised land, and he manifests his presence, he manifests his power, and he manifests his goodness. Then that's what he'll do for us. He'll honor you with his presence. He said, where you go, I'll go with you. I'll go before you. If you need me to show up big on your behalf at work, or on your job, in your community, in the marketplace, I'll be there to show you my mighty right hand. Hallelujah. And then glory. You and I have been justified by the blood to live victorious and the glorious life. Our lives are to reflect and give the Lord the greatest glory. and maximize the expansion of his kingdom. Now listen to 1 Corinthians 6:20, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20, in the New King James Version. It says, for you are bought with a price. What price was that? Everybody say the blood of Jesus. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. See, the price that has been paid for your liberty, and the price guarantees a glorious life. He didn't redeem you to still stay and live like a beggar, a sinner, an outcast, a worm, an unworthy person. He's redeemed us so we can live glorious and victorious. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Number seven, blessings. Who can then curse us whom the Lord has blessed? The prophet said, tried to say that to the king, evil King Balak, in Numbers, and he said, I can't curse whom the Lord has blessed. He even tried to bribe him and pay him off and say, curse your people, pronounce a curse. They can't pronounce a curse on you because you've been blessed to be a blessing. See, these are the manifold redemptive values of the blood of Jesus. Our Lord was slain to receive these sevenfold blessings for us to restore us to all that was lost in and by Adam. So the blood of Jesus is like our resident permit or our access badge into the Garden of Eden, spiritually speaking, on the earth. Now let's go through these catalog of the restorative process through the blood, and then we'll take communion. It says, number one, you have been restored back to power so that you can break the chains of fear. You have, number two, you've been restored back to riches. Riches. So you can break the yoke of poverty, lack, and insufficiency. Number three, you've been restored back to wisdom. So you can break the yoke of density, dullness, and blindness that the devil tries to put on our minds. That confusion thing. I don't know what to do. I don't know what God wants me to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know why I need to do this. I don't understand. He gives you wisdom. Number four, you've been restored back to strength so you can destroy the yoke of weakness. Number five, you've been restored back to honor so he can you can destroy the yoke of any shame or reproach and embrace dignity and integrity in your life. Number six, you've been restored back to glory. So it's time to shine and show the glory of the Lord in and through your life. Like Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 5, let men see your good works. Let your light shine before men so that they may see your good works and that they may glorify God through your life. Amen. And don't be not despised or in despair anymore. You don't have to be embarrassed or ashamed to be a Christian. Number seven, you have been restored back to blessings, which makes us rich and adds no sorrow to it. You can live a sorrow-free and a struggle-free life and destroy the yoke of depression and discouragement over bills and financial burdens and debts because Jesus has set you free. See, these seven blessings add up to greatness. And when we take the blood of Jesus and the broken body, when we take those emblems of the covenant, the everlasting covenant, we say, God, you're restoring us back to everything Adam lost. We have access to the greatness and the goodness and the glory of God through the blood of Jesus. Whew. Our Lord has redeemed us from the low estate to the highest of heights in God. You're really something because of what the blood has done for us. And so, friends, we know we're truly living at the end of all things and the end of times. So it's through this blood triumph that is one of the most powerful significances of the blood of Jesus. That, hey, when I come to the table, when I receive the blood, broken body, and remember Jesus poured out blood, I not only say I've been redeemed and the basics of redemption are mine, the big basis, but now I have benefits and I have blessings. Glory to God. Listen to this. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. And they overcame him. Well, how? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives unto death. So let's take the communion today. Hallelujah. If you say, I don't know if I should, I don't know if I know the Lord, or I've been far away from the Lord, I've been walking away from God. Well, let's pray a prayer. Let's get you back to God. And if you would, wherever you're at, you're in the bathroom, you're in the living room, you're in the kitchen, you're listening to it in the car, stop over inside the road. Don't drive with your eyes closed. But bow your heads and close your eyes and mean this with your heart and say this out loud with your mouth until your own ears can hear it and agree to it. Say, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I thank you that Jesus Christ died for my sins. And he was buried. He went to hell. And Father, you raised him from the dead. I believe it. I receive redemption through Christ. I take and confess Jesus Christ as my Lord and personal Savior. I repent of sin. I renounce Satan. And I receive all the blessings and benefits of a child of God. I thank you, Father, that Jesus' body was broken and his blood was shed for my redemption, for my freedom. I am saved. Thank you, Father, for saving me. Thank you, Father, for making me a born again child of God and bringing me back to a relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So if you prayed that prayer, let us know. They'll put the information up on the screen. You can connect with us and let us know that you received that prayer. You came back to God. You received Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior. You were restored back to God. Perhaps some of you receive your healing. And you realize, hey, this blessing and benefit is healing too. Because this meal is a meal that heals. The body of Jesus was broken, so ours doesn't have to be broken. That means any organ, any tissue, any fiber of your body pulsates with the healing power of God. We access and appropriate it by faith. Amen. So let's receive the bread. You take your bread, and Jesus said with the bread, this is my body, which was broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So remember, by his stripes, you are and were healed. Thank you, Lord. Receive your healing right now. Receive your wholeness and soundness of body right now. The healing power of God is flowing right now. Just receive it. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, thank you, Lord. This is the blood. He said, this is the blood, the New Testament ratified, new covenant ratified, established in my blood. It's made valid. It's confirmed. It's not because you did anything. It's because he did everything. Jesus shed his blood for you and me. Amen? And we're redeemed by this blood. So say this out loud with me. Say, God is on my side, for the blood has been applied. Every need shall be supplied. Nothing shall be denied. So I enter into rest. No, I know that I'm blessed. I have passed the test. I will get God's very best. Say, the blood of Jesus purges me from any
and all
defilement of the enemy. The blood of Jesus sanctifies me and cleanses me and sets me apart to the perfect will of God in my life, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, relationally, and financially, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, that the blood of Jesus is my divine peace, protection, and provision. And I receive the basics, the benefits, and the blessings of the blood of Jesus in my life, in my family, and in my home. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, God bless you so much. Amen. Thank you for listening to this broadcast. Again, reach out to us and let us know. Give us a message. We'll read all the comments, and we'll certainly pay attention to our text messages and emails as they come forth, as this word has been a blessing to you. Let me pray a blessing over you. Father, we bless these, your precious people, both viewing online and in person. Father God, we thank you, Father God, for the maximum effects of the blood of Jesus operating and flowing in and through each and everyone's life. In Jesus' name, by the glory of God, to the glory of God. And we thank you, Father God, that they live in complete victory after victory after victory, increase after increase after increase, and blessings after blessings after blessings, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you next time on Facebook Live.